And welcome to another exciting episode of In Plain Sight with Jeremy from Kentucky. And as advertised, I have a very special guest tonight, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of Synagogue of Satan. And also, he has some excellent content over on the Rents Radio Network Monday through Friday. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jeremy. It's a real pleasure to do the show with you, and I'd just like to say that I'm also a member of your audience, and I think that you've been doing an outstanding job. The show's not yet 2 months old, and I know from the callers that you've been getting as well that I'm not alone in that statement, Jeremy.
Well, thanks very much, Andrew, and I too enjoy your show. And it's hard to listen to all the content out there. There is some great stuff, but I try to listen to as many of your shows as I can throughout the week as I'm at work. It gets me through the day, and it helps me prepare for my show, quite honestly, when I want to do some deep dives into some particular topics. So I wanted to get you on because I know you've been on Rents before on Patrick Slattery's show, National Bugle, but it's been a while, and I think it's only been a handful of times. So if you would sort of introduce yourself to the audience, and I know your great book, Synagogue of Satan, there's probably a lot of people that is familiar with it. Some of the RBN hosts have actually talked about it. Tell us a little bit about yourself, what led you to write the book, and sort of the contents of the book, just in general.
Thank you, Jeremy. Well, let's go back. I mean, essentially what I was doing in the early 2000s, probably around 2004, I started off. I was listening to alternative media, not a great deal of it, and then I sort of started finding more shows. You know, back then it was difficult to even download shows. Sometimes you'd have to record them in real time and save them, things like that. But I was looking at all sorts of content, videos and listening to shows and looking at websites. And I always give this example, but I find it's the easiest. You've had nearly 100 deathbed confessions, people saying they killed JFK. Well, we know that it wasn't just Lee Harvey Oswald, but it wasn't nearly 100 people who did it. So a lot of these people are either mentally unbalanced or they're disinfo agents or what have you. And that was quite a popular theme in, you know, conspirator type of science, conspiratorial science, whatever you want to call it. And my aim was to literally come up with what I considered to be the most accurate version of events in the alternative viewpoint to the obviously fraudulent mainstream one. And I had to listen to a lot of things and read a lot of things and what have you regarding Kennedy to come to my conclusions, which go along with Michael Collins Piper, of course, was a former host on RBN, sadly no longer with us, with the Piper Report. And he pointed to the fact that Kennedy had basically told David Ben-Gurion that he wasn't going to let him have nuclear weapons, and within about 3 months he was dead. And a lot of things tie to that. So once I got that, I just typed it all up on a little Word document on my computer, and I thought, right, I'm not saying I've closed the door, but unless something startling comes to light, I'm not going to look at Kennedy stuff anymore because I feel that I've got the right picture. And then that happened with all sorts of other historical issues I'd never even heard of. Who'd ever been taught about the USS Liberty, for example? So all these different things, I heard the alternative view before I even knew what the mainstream view was, because I didn't even know it had happened. And essentially this document got bigger and bigger and bigger. And another former RBN host, Daryl Bradford Smith, had a website, iamthewitness.com, and I used to listen to him. And I emailed it over to him, and he ended up putting it up on his website. And I would listen to more and more shows, read more and more content online. And then, basically, this document became bigger and bigger and bigger, and it got to a stage where I had enough for a book. And so I continued working on it. It became about 60,000 words, and I published it myself, got it printed myself in the UK, and set up a one-page website and sold it through there. I sent a few copies out to promote it, one of which was to Tex Mars. He liked it and asked if he could order some copies. And even if I sent them to him at cost with what they cost me, no profit, the shipping cost was so great that it just wouldn't have been feasible for him to sell it. So I just said, well, why don't you publish it? And he was like, oh, that's an idea. And so we came up with a deal, ended up running for 9 prints with him. And then I was still finding out information. It came out in 2006 and his version in 2007. And in 2012, all the other information I'd discovered, along with the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion and an excerpt of every one of the 80 chapters that fill up the 4-volume set of Henry Forbes' The International Jew, I brought out a 144,000-word version, which had all of the original, plus all this extra content, not just tagged on at the end, but it was things I'd found out throughout the entire original timeline, you know, additional information, completely new topics, things like that. Sadly, I wasn't aware of the Kalergi plan at that point when it was brought out. Wasn't aware of that till about 2015. That would have been great to put in. That is in the new version as an appendancy, which you can get at andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com. But that was basically how the book came about. My mother said to me once that if you knew you were going to write a book, you'd never have started, because it would be such an onerous task, you know, you wouldn't believe you'd be able to do it. So it kind of happened by accident. It was for my own personal use. And funnily enough, these days, Jeremy, I find that I have a copy of my book next to me only in the last couple of years, because up to that point you could type something that you could recall out of the book and you'd get it come up in your search results. But now we know that they're scrubbing all that, so rather than do that now, I'll look up in my index if I want to bring something up, and then I do, because it's very difficult to find on the internet. Back to you.
Yeah, it is exactly what you described. When I looked at it, it's like a reference. It's like reference material, and you can go to almost any point in history and trace the Jewish power down. And so that is the reference of the book, Synagogue of Satan. It's referencing the scriptures in Revelation 3, talking about the Synagogue of Satan and this networking of Kabbalist Jewish power that works their way through history and tries to make their ends through their treacherous dealings and whatnot. Did I kind of hit the nail on the head about the summary of the book as far as that goes?
Well, it's funny you bring that up, because when I called it the Synagogue of Satan, I misinterpreted it as to the way I see it today. I was referring it to the Synagogue of Satan from the old Arthur Kessler book, The 13th Tribe, and about the Ashkenazi Jews. Beware of those people who say they are Jews but are not, but are the Synagogue of Satan. And of course, it's largely Ashkenazi, so that was where I was coming from. But as the years went on, my understanding changed. And I think what it actually says is, beware of those who say they are Judeans but are not, but are the Synagogue of Satan. So it's the people who are the imposters of the true Israelites of the Bible, who were, you know, many people with Christian identity theology believe are the white race. And that's how I feel today. But I find it really amazing the way that God works, is even though the title I gave it was from the incorrect perspective, it actually is correct as to how my later understanding became. So that, to me, was a wonderful experience.
What's interesting about what you just said was, you know, I'm a traditional Christian, probably from like 100 years ago, and all of our European forefathers, like you know, Martin Luther and the different ones, Wycliffe, all of these guys, they recognized that the Jewish people that they saw in Europe were not, you know, they were hostile to Christianity, especially when the Talmud was exposed. So my point of view then, even though I have a traditional Christian view on the Bible and the Old Testament and on Israel and the Jews, I can look at your book and I can still use it as an excellent reference, because what we are agreeing on is that there is a power, there is a group of people that dominate our politics, our banking, and our media. They call themselves Jews, and they network together, it's very obvious. And not only that, they openly admit it. So that's the interesting thing about your book, is people with different religious points of view can look at it and still use it as an excellent reference point to document and discuss Jewish power.
Yes, yeah, sorry about that. I was just going to get probably the article that I quote the most, and it's on my website, which is a very small website. There's not a lot there apart from the front page. but it's got my shows on the front and the books available down the right-hand side. But if you scroll down, you'll see the Ministry of Yahweh, and then below that you'll see who controls the news media, Hollywood, Wall Street and the government. And the reason that I use this is, this is from the Los Angeles Times. Let's see if that link is still working, because they stopped. No, it is working. They stopped it for a while. And this is a Joel Stein piece, Who Runs Hollywood? Come On, Los Angeles Times, December 19th, 2008. So we're looking at nearly 12 years old now. And the very last paragraph, he says, I don't care if Americans think we're running the news media, Hollywood, Wall Street or the government. I just care that we get to keep running them. And when you bear something like that in mind, and Los Angeles Times is not a conspiracy paper, well, some might argue some of the things they put together, but I think, well, basically I'm trying to say it's a mainstream paper. He's come out and said that we want to keep running the news media, Hollywood, Wall Street and the government. And we get all our governments around the world saying that anyone who says that is an anti-Semite. They know this information is true. He knows this information is true. And I think this is why we're seeing what we're seeing today with all this coronavirus, COVID nonsense, because there are a lot more people awake than they will ever let on. And this is the way that they're going to deal with it. They're going to lock people down. They've got this so-called vaccine that they want to force on everybody. They won't tell you what's in it, but apparently it's fine, which is rather strange when I've seen something off the European Union website that the UK has actually asked, they put out to tender a contract for a software company to actually come in and manage the expected high volume of negative reactions to the vaccine, when in their people are coming out and saying, oh, no, it's all safe. We've got American presidents, former presidents, apparently all planning to take it on air. And whether it does do something negative to us or not, I believe they think it will. But then at the same time, I believe that they thought that the virus, which I do think is an actual virus, was going to be extremely potent earlier this year. It wasn't as potent as they hoped, and so consequently they had to make up the figures in order to justify the lockdowns, which are another key part of this, because essentially they want to make your lives difficult so that when they turn around and say, you know, you can have your freedom back if you just take this shot, many people will do it. Even some people, I know of someone, for example, who knows this information, but they've said, well, I'm going to get the vaccine anyway because I want to get my freedom back. And these are the sort of people that I believe are putting their very souls in jeopardy, Jeremy.
Totally agree with you. We don't know what this thing's going to do. And, I mean, people that are not religious should just look at this on the face of it and say it's ridiculous, because you can find article after article after article saying that the vaccine, even if you take it, it may not be effective for more than 3 months, and it may only stop your symptoms. And then you're going to have to take another one, and you're still going to have to social distance and wear a mask. If you look at this, I mean, so that's not freedom. I mean, the people that have the mindset that you just described, I want the vaccine because of my freedom. Well, they're not going to give it to you no matter what. So you might as well just resist and figure out a way to live and get around these people. Now, you and I, knowing the scriptures, and I'm sure you've heard Mark Dankov and I talk, we see what's going on here. And a lot of people would ask, even people on our side, they would say, why do the Jews want to destroy the economy? Aren't they making a lot of money off of it? Don't they make their money in the stock market? But, you know, we know that there is a spiritual battle going on here. The forces of evil and the children of Satan, the synagogue of Satan, the ones who call themselves Jews, no matter who you think that they are, physically, they're a group of people that are pushing into this new world order, this new beast system, this new Babylon that the book of Revelation very clearly lays out in chapter 17 and 18. And this is their end game. It's to get the entire globe under one government that they control. And they can control every aspect. Now we see exactly how they're going to do it, through virus scares, through health departments, through consolidation of wealth into places like Walmart and Amazon, and through destroying all of the middle class mom and pop businesses so that you're forced to work for one of their satanic corporations. And then they can say, hey, Goy, if you don't have the mark, you can't come to work today. You know, you can't feed your family. And we got probably 3 minutes before the break. Let me know what you think about that breakdown, Andrew, and then we'll get ready to move on to the other subject after the break.
Well, thank you. You mentioned Mark Dankoff, and I actually do a show with Mark every week on Tuesdays. If you go to andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com, and you can download that for free there. It's a Dankoff report that we've only recently launched following the sad death of our dear friend, Dr. Adrian Krieg. We used to do Generations, the three of us. We couldn't continue it without him. It wouldn't have been possible. He was an integral part. So we created something else for Mark, and he, as you know, works extremely hard putting content together for shows. I know he puts many hours into this. So check that out there. And what you just said, I find it very interesting. You talked about this particular community. We've had a couple of incidences in American synagogues, I believe both of them were in New York, and where they've had gatherings of like 7,000 people, and they've been fined as a result. I understand one of the $15,000 fines that they were given was basically paid by Rick Wiles of True News, that raised a few eyebrows in the alternative media community. But I've not heard of any other religious institutions apart from a synagogue where this amount of people have gathered in one place for whatever reason. I know one of them was a wedding, for example. And it makes you wonder if these people, it's not just that they're not concerned, it's because they know that there's something there that they don't have to be concerned about, because that is the only religious congregation, so to speak, that has gathered and been discovered and fined. And 7,000 people is a hell of a lot of people, isn't it, Jeremy?
It is indeed, my friend, and I heard that the clip talking about the fines and Rick Wiles paying it. I can't believe that he did that, but whatever. It doesn't mean all of the stuff that he says is bad. It just means that he made a horrible decision. But, you know, another thing that it proves, not only do these particular communities of Orthodox Jews recognize this is just the flu, bro, but also Jewish power is not a monolith. I think it's very, very evident that the top echelons of Jewish power, of elites, want these lockdowns. They want the earth consolidated. And here you have, you know, little communities of Jews that just aren't fully on the wagon. Maybe that's another way to look at it, too. Not only do they understand that this is not a real threat, but you have a few dissidents. I know there's some individuals who are Jewish that listen to our programs on Patrick's program and mine as well, and they're not on board this whole New World Order thing. But I think we can definitely say that the elitist Jews and most Jewish people as a group are on board, and they're working their different angles, even from the smallest synagogue, you know, to the biggest Wall Street banker, to the top Chabad Lubavitch over in Russia. And they're working every angle, and they're working behind every world leader to try to push their global agenda, and their mask is off. As our mask comes on, their mask is coming off. And we're finally able to see a bigger picture, and those with ears to hear, let them hear, that understand the scriptures, you can see very well, very clearly, the new satanic agenda that's being rolled out. So we're coming up on the break here in just a few seconds. And we had a great discussion, Andy, and I want to get in on the other side of the break into your red pilling and kind of what led you to be awakened and take the path that you've taken to be such a great activist. Back after the break, folks. Skin, yeah,
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. knowledge, and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Welcome back to the show, In Plain Sight. Jeremy from Kentucky talking with Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. And Andrew, I wanted to get into a little bit of how you became red-pilled and what led you down the path of political activism. Take it away, Andrew.
Well, thank you, Jeremy. I was a big fan of The X-Files in the 90s. I finally thought that the show had actually been made for me. I couldn't believe it. Really enjoyed it. And still to this day, I think it's, if I could only take one, you know, box set with me to a desert island or something, it would be that, with the variety of stories. And of course, there's a lot of things in there designed to take you in an opposite direction. And they don't talk about what we've been talking about today, but there's certainly some interesting things that they put in there. And then later in the 90s, there was a show called The Secret Rulers of the World that was on British television. And they had a show there, Tex Mars on one of them. They followed David Icke round on another. They followed Christopher Bolin and Big Jim Tucker on another episode when they were going to a build, trying to infiltrate a Bilderberg group meeting. And I found out all this stuff, and this is kind of what springboarded me into looking into stuff. And the first book I bought on the subject was David Icke's The Biggest Secret, which is the one where he first revealed the reptilians, which, you know, a lot of people don't agree with, and it's not necessarily something I would. But of course, we all start somewhere, and then I started listening to people like Alex Jones, and you know, then you know, you start to find other things like RBN, which of course was around back then as well. It's one of the longest running networks out there. And that was really what began my journey. And then that led into me, you know, finding this information out, and rewind to the first segment of the show where I started putting it together in a document for my own personal use that became the Synagogue of Satan. And with regard to the show that I do Monday to Friday that people can get at andrewcantonhitchcock.com, if you were to just... The reason that came about is I was doing a show just every Sunday with Pastor Eli James of EuroFolkRadio.com since 2014, I think August. I actually was in a situation where the job that I was doing, the company closed down. They were relocating to another part of the country, and I didn't want to go. So I was given, you know, compensation, severance pay. They call it redundancy pay in the UK. And that gave me the opportunity to actually think, well, I would never have left my job voluntarily, but now that I've got to go anyway, should we give a show a chance? And so I decided to do my own show Monday to Friday, and that started on February the 1st of 2016, and I've been doing it ever since. And fortunately, it's been a reasonable success. It's always difficult to make ends meet, as people know. It was a lot easier in the earlier days when we still had PayPal and books on Amazon and things like that, but as time's gone on, the enemy has been trying to deprive us in any way of raising money to get the truth out to the people. But fortunately, there are many good people out there that yearn for the truth, and so they come for that. Back to you, Jeremy.
Well, yeah, and Andy, you have this amazing ability. I have it as well, and I know a few other people that do. You can take like lots of content, analyze it, pick out what's truth, and then put it together. You know, when I started out, you started with The X-Files and with Tex Mars and then David Icke. I started with Ancient Aliens, that show on history. And, you know, it's a little ridiculous sometimes, but the truth that come out of it is that these, you know, big stone monoliths are real. Somebody built these things, and they had a technology that was better than ours. And that was the truth that I took away from it. I don't believe that aliens came down. I have a more biblical view that it was, you know, fallen angels before the flood. But I was able to pick through what, you know, I thought was what I felt to be truth, and put it together. We're up on another break, and we'll come back on the other side.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Memory, your lamplight is burning holes. Recover the damage, bring it all home.
And welcome back to In Plain Sight, my most excellent guest, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. And we were discussing in the first segment the mark of the beast, the one world government, the satanic system that we see taking shape right now. And I have an interesting article from The Stormer, which you have a hard time pulling up on your end. And it is UK vaccine minister says vaccine certificate will be required to enter a bar or a movie theater. And Andrew Anglin writes, last week, just as we told you, that an Australian airline ran by a homosexual, who is coincidentally a member of the World Economic Forum, is planning to require proof of corona vaccination before passengers are allowed to fly. And, you know, Mr. Anglin refreshes us about what he wrote back then, talking about how this is going to be the model. And how it's not going to necessarily be governments forcing you through legislation to take this vaccine, but rather, just like the mask enforcement, they're going to leave that up to businesses, big tech and corporations, and you're just going to be drummed out of society little by little if you don't take this vaccine. And I think that looking at how they're handling the mask, that's a very good model of how the vaccine is going to work. If there's a place that you can currently go right now without a mask, then that might be a holdout and you can go there without the vaccine. And if there's a place where they absolutely require it, they refuse to check you out, they refuse to let you come to work, whatever, then they're going to absolutely demand the vaccine. So once again, this is rule by big tech and corporations. I think it's what they call technocracy, I do believe. And this is not massive government overreach, even though governments will have their role in, you know, making arrests and siding you with tremendous fines. It's going to be a conglomeration. So similarly, the way we can sort of gauge and judge how this thing is going to go with the mask in regards to the vaccine, we can look at these businesses in this next year. And any business that's going to require a vaccine for you to buy or sell or to work, I believe that's going to be the roadmap for the mark of the beast. And that's going to be the same businesses who will require the mark and who will be a part of the satanic system. And we're just going to have to learn how to avoid this and start building our strategy now. Let me kick it over to you, Andrew. And what's the latest news in the UK on this vaccine certificate?
Well, thank you, Jeremy. There was an update on that article. I think the guy was somebody, Van Tam, who's our vaccine minister. I mean, why would you have a vaccine minister if you're not planning to roll out a vaccine? But a guy called Michael Gove, who's quite senior in the government, and he famously derailed Boris Johnson's first campaign to become the British Prime Minister, leader of the Conservative Party, when he was working for his campaign, only to turn his back on him and run his own campaign, which caused Boris Johnson to pull out because he was left looking stupid, and that's when Theresa May took charge. He's also ran for leadership when Boris Johnson got it last year, and he was brought back into the government as quite a senior figure, but he came out and said, no, we're not going to make things mandatory. But you see, there's mandatory in point of fact, where the government make it a law and it's mandatory, or it's mandatory in the same way as I was talking about in the previous segment of being deplatformed. Now, the government can quite easily turn round in the same way that if I'd written a book promoting LGBTQ and transgender rights and PayPal deplatformed me and Amazon took the book down, you can bet your bottom dollar that the security services, the police force, the legal profession would be quite interested in that. But because I wrote it on a different topic, it's, oh, they're a private company, so they can do what they want. But it just depends on what you're writing about, really, doesn't it? And I think that what you're going to see is the same system come into play, where the governments around the world are going to say, it's not mandatory. And then you say, well, my supermarket won't let me in because I don't have a certificate, I've been vaccinated. Well, you know, they're worried about their staff. They're worried about their customers. They've got to protect them. You know, they're a private business. They can impose what rules that they want. And you know that these rules have been handed down to them from the government. And the reason that they've waited until now to roll this out is because they needed to have the monopoly. And that's why all these big companies have been allowed to stay open during the lockdowns, while the smaller mom and pop alternatives have basically been forced into closure because they don't want you to have the ability to go elsewhere. And so, therefore, it is going to be mandatory. They're just not going to say it's mandatory because if you can't get food, you either starve or get a vaccine. A lot of people are going to get a vaccine. How about if you go to travel somewhere today? In the past, we had in the UK British Rail. You know, that was a government-owned, it was a state-owned company that operated all the railways around the UK. Well, now all these railways are owned by different private firms. So the private firm just comes out and says, well, we can't have anybody on our trains without having been vaccinated because they could infect other passengers or infect our staff. And again, they'll get away with it. So this is how I think that they're going to do it. With regard to the 666 mark of the beast aspect to it, there's too much evidence out there. You know, if I was Bill Gates and there's been all this suspicion about vaccines and the big anti-vaxxer movement for many, many years, and that's why many people out there, they haven't just become anti-vax, they've been anti-vax for years and years and years and years. Knowing that, I would not bring out my patent under the number 060606, because I'd be like, I want to get this through. I want people to take this. But these people are so blatant. And I understand that I heard someone talking about it, I forget who, but the reason they put all this stuff out there, like, you know, references we see in Back to the Future to 9/11, all these different things that we see before the event, is not that they have to tell you somewhere to get away with it. It's actually Kabbalistic magic. And if they don't tell you what they're doing to you in certain areas, and it'll never be a newsreader coming on saying, oh, by the way, this vaccine is going to give you all the mark of the beast. No, they'll put it somewhere else because that's sufficient to create the magic spell, I've been told. They need to tell you through some medium of what they've actually got planned. So the fact that you would actually have that as your chosen patent number goes to show that there's a lot more to this than this vaccine. And the other thing, it takes us back full circle to what Joel Stein said in his article, who runs Hollywood Come On, and he basically says that we, the Jews, run Hollywood, the government, Hollywood, Wall Street, and the mainstream media. And we, I just care that we keep doing so. Well, if your government cares about you, why are they allowing this group of people to do that? Why are they allowing this group of people to run your media, to run them? They obviously don't care about you. And you just need to look. And I ask people, try and tell me when your government last did something good for you. And you look in the Western world, to all the immigration and what have you. They're literally trying to breed us out. And when you look at something in the UK, now, white people, we've got a lot of minorities in the UK, as you do in America. But white race are still the most represented race in each of our respective countries. Now, in the UK, our Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, has got a real mixed heritage. He's got some Jewish ancestry. He's got some Turkish ancestry. And he's the leader, OK? And then his deputy, when he went into hospital, who's our foreign secretary, which is the equivalent to your secretary of state, a guy called Dominic Raab, he is half Jewish. Then you have the next one down is the chancellor, and he's the guy who'd be like your treasury secretary, responsible for the money, and he's Indian or Pakistani. And then you move on to the home secretary, in charge of all the police and what have you, and she is Indian. Priti Patel, her name. The Chancellor is Rishi Sunak. And then we move on to Transport Minister. Grant Shapps is Jewish. And you struggle to find any one of, you know, actual British ancestry that's in any of these senior positions, yet they make up the bulk of the population of the country. And you have to ask the question, well, why is that? And again, it goes to show that these people aren't representing us. It's not a racial thing. If we go back to the racial, the immigration basis pre-1965 Hart-Celler Act in America, essentially, and I'm going to get these figures wrong, folks, because I don't know how the demographic was, but let's say in the US, you were made up of 30% German ancestry, 30% Italian ancestry, and 30% English, Scottish, what have you, okay? The way that the system worked before the 1965 Hart-Celler Act is immigrants could only come in the same proportion to the existing racial makeup of the American population. And so, therefore, you could only bring in, say, we're going to bring in 900 people. What have you, 1,000 people. Well, 300 would have to be Italian, 300 German, and 300 UK, you know, English, Scottish, Irish, what have you. And that was the way it worked. And the whole idea behind it is that they didn't want to upset the racial demographic of the country, because that would be going against the people of the country and it would change the country as a whole, which of course it has. And when Hart-Celler came in, which was pushed by Senator Jacob Javits, they promised, and Ted Kennedy as well, the promises were made, oh, this isn't going to change anything, we're just going to open up to other people as well. Well, Jeremy, when I was in the early 90s and I was going to see if I could maybe come to America and, you know, maybe work there for a year or something like that, if you phoned the American embassy, you had to use a pay line, like a sex line. You know, it cost you £1.50 a minute, like $2 a minute to phone them up, because it was all dissuaded. And you look at the amount of white people that are allowed to get citizenships in the United States today, and it's virtually non-existent. But when you look at the amount of non-whites that don't even go for citizenship, they just come over illegally and are given all these benefits in sanctuary cities and pretty much all over the country. It just goes to show that there's this effort in the West to work against white people in any way, shape or form that they can. And that brings us back to this vaccine. These people are not your friends. The biggest enemy that you've got are your own governments in the respective countries where you're listening to this show. And once people realise that, which I have a new you have, and I imagine many people listening have for many, many years, we know that whatever these people do for our health is a pretty novel idea, because they've not been interested in our health for certainly all the time that I've been alive, Jeremy. Back to you.
It is interesting that you mentioned more foreigners, you know, in positions of power. I mean, this sort of mirrors the Bolsheviks in Russia. 100 years ago, you know, the Bolsheviks were 85% Jewish, and then they had like several other minorities up there. I don't know exactly. Patrick would have to fill me in on that unless you know. But, you know, you had a group of foreign people ruling over the Russians, and they hated the Russians. They hated them, and they, you know, committed vast atrocities and murders. We're seeing this in America, especially with Biden's cabinet coming together. My goodness, it's so kosher. And the one, you know, everybody's kosher certified, but you have actual physical people that call themselves Jews in his cabinet. And then you have like minorities and females. And what I find interesting is in the Bible, in the law of God, and this is in Deuteronomy 28:43, it talks about how when foreigners rule over you, you're under a curse. It says the alien who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Think about, Andrew, I know in America, the massive amount of wives taken through abortion, the sexual revolution, actually redefining marriage, saying that homos can get married. What a slap in the face to the Creator. It doesn't surprise me that in my country, as well as yours, where a lot of these atrocities are being committed, that God is allowing us to be punished by putting foreign rulers over us. And I think that it really was evident when the Kenyan ruled over us. You know, that guy from Kenya. I don't remember his name. Looks like he's got a really, really bad tan. Obama, Saddam, something like that. But we were under a curse, you know, when he ruled over us. And so this is in the Bible there. And then I think one more scripture I wanted to reference, and we do have a couple of minutes before the break. You know, you were mentioning how people aren't going to go for this if they openly say it's the mark of the beast. And I would tend to agree. But if we remember 2 Thessalonians 2:1-3 talks about a falling away. And it says, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and your gathering together, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter, as it is from us. And though the day of Christ had come, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Very clearly, the Bible's telling us that there's going to be a falling away of the people of God and a rejection of his truths, so that they're going to be so ignorant that when these things do happen on a global scale, they're just not going to know what to do. They're not going to know to fight it, and they're just going to go right along with it. That's kind of my take on that, Andrew. And we do have about 2.5 minutes. I want to get your react to that, and then we'll have to pick it up on the other side of the break.
Well, yeah, thank you, Jeremy. The point here is I always go back to this. What's the first? Unfortunately, most of our people don't believe in God today. And those that do have got a very strange understanding of it. I'm talking about the biggest Christian sect in the United States being the Judeo-Christians. But the enemy do believe in God, okay? And that's why the enemy, of all the different things that you said are being pushed upon us, are condemned in the Bible. But what was the first thing that they did? The first thing they did was the separation of church and state. Taking religion out of the schools, but you're still allowed to have these Hebrew academies, things like that. But that was the whole point, and it was what you just went to in the book of Deuteronomy, where it's made absolutely clear that if we obey God's laws and follow him, then we will get the blessings, but if we turn away from him, we'll get the curses. And the enemy know that, and so their job was to get us to turn away from our Father God. And once we turned away sufficiently, they're pushing all this stuff on us now because they want to get rid of us. Okay, make no mistake about that. And so essentially, they want a situation whereby Jesus Christ isn't going to come back. Why would he come back when he's got no one to come back to? If you've turned all these people into just apathy towards him, not even knowing about him in most cases, then that was their plan, to divorce us from Jesus Christ. And the fact that our world has got steadily worse since we lost that protection, I think that that is the key. And I think that that was why they had to do that first, Jeremy. Back to you.
Very well stated, you know. And we are in this time of apostasy. And I think that we're paying for it. And there are going to be an elect few of us. The Bible does talk about the elect. those that are going to survive. And I think we need to start making contingency plans right now. And number one is getting yourself right with Jesus Christ, people. Once you're spiritually right, then you can take care of the physical things. But I did want to mention in regards to you saying that they want to stop Christ from coming back by turning his people. You know, the enemy, the powers of Satan and the humans that follow him, they definitely think they can change the law of God. I didn't pull up the exact reference, but it's in Daniel 9, speaking of the Antichrist. It says that he thinks that he can change the times and the law. So our sovereign God, who has laid these things out, the enemy thinks that that can be thwarted and that the very law of God can be thwarted. And we're up on a break now. Let's finish up on the other side.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
And welcome back. We have a very powerful discussion with our guest, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. And you mentioned in the last segment that if our governments really cared about us, you know, they don't care about us. It's very obvious. You know, they don't care about us by introducing this vaccine. It's not going to be to help us, especially when I pulled up articles from Reuters saying 2021 is going to be full of economic fallout and over 12 countries facing famine because of the lockdown. So it's very obvious that the lockdowns that they did have destroyed so many countries on so many levels all over the globe. They don't care about us. And you had some news in the UK, more of a recap, actually, further illustrating this point. Let me kick it over to you, Andrew.
Well, thank you, Jeremy. And all it was something many people may be aware of, and that's these Muslim rape gangs we've had over the years in the UK. And essentially, both the local police and the local council were covering up this. They didn't want to investigate it because they were more concerned of being called racist than they were from protecting white children getting raped. And at the same time, these authorities knew what was going on. There was no block on the immigration coming in. In fact, it was increased. So again, it seems to me that these people are bringing in in our governments are bringing in people for the purpose of harming us and harming our children. I'll give you another example from America. I admit that yesterday I saw the new Rambo film. When I say new, it was called Last Blood in the UK. I think Rambo 5 in America came out 2019. And basically the plot involves that his stepdaughter is essentially goes to Mexico. She's kidnapped, sold into prostitution, and then she's basically scarred on her face by the leader of the gang that she's employed by, and she's addicted to heroin, and Rambo goes in and rescues her, and she dies. I'm sorry if I did a plot spoiler there. But the reason I say that, that's pretty horrific stuff, and when you see what they do to her, it's really very unpleasant to watch. But there are people, if you look on the Wikipedia page, there are people that come out and say, oh, this was anti-Mexican. And you see what's going on, and this is the sort of garbage that you get. So you can have a scene in which this child, all these things happen to her, and these people on the left are coming out and saying, oh, well, that's fine, because you're just being anti-Mexican by saying that. Back to you, Jeremy.
Yeah, if you're going to expose any of the crimes that these illegals do, and especially, Andrew, as you very well know, if you're going to expose the Jewish-dominated elites that have opened the floodgates for these people to come into outer countries and destroy them, when you expose that, you're really over the target taking flak. And that's when you're going to get your book taken down, your website taken down and demonetized, is when you expose the powers behind that. And so we've got a few minutes left until the end of the show. I want you to give us a rundown on how to find your book. Tell us about your website and then kick it back over and I'll drum us out.
Thank you, Jeremy. Well, the best place to go, folks, is my publisher operates my book websites, but if you just go to andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com, then the bulk of the page, you will scroll down and you'll see all the shows for the last month, including this one, I'll Be Here, my guest appearance on In Plain Sight. And also on the right-hand side, you've got a column where you've got the two book covers. You click on and that'll take you to the publisher's site. You've got the article that I just talked about by Joel Stein. You've got my ministry of Yahweh, there's not a lot on it, but I keep it that way because essentially it's mainly for the shows now, because that's what I do. I don't intend to write anything else. It was I'm pleased I did what I did, a couple of books. I do salute people who've brought out book after book after book. It's not for me. I prefer to do shows where I can have a conversation like I have today with Jeremy, because it's a nice social thing, whereas writing is a very insular thing and you're kind of on your own all the time, and I prefer the social interaction. Back to you, Jeremy.
Definitely been a great show, a wonderful back and forth. I think just like Patrick and I, and just like Dankoff and I, we have good chemistry. We're able to make our points and then kick it back, and it makes for great content. And I think this show is every bit as powerful as what I've done with Mark Dankoff and Patrick in the past. So I really appreciate you coming on, Andrew, and I appreciate your hard work and your dedication to the cause and fighting against the powers of Satan in whatever form they display themselves in. That's going to be it for the show, folks. I appreciate you tuning in tonight. In Plain Sight, Jeremy from Kentucky, and tomorrow night we'll have the Cape Crusader for more political analysis of the ongoing saga of the American election.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.